Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's Church. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist.
As you are able, please stand and join us in singing hymn number 376 as found in your bulletin.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. O God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord.
Supplication, because he has inclined an ear to me whenever I called upon him. The cords of death entangled me, the grip of the grave took hold of me. I came to grief and sorrow.
A reading from the letter of James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of the Lord.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
The American Civil War ended in 1865, and Bishop Charles Todd Quintard was the second bishop of the Diocese of Tennessee. And Bishop Quintard felt that it was his duty to work on reconciliation, on bringing together divided families and healing a broken and war-torn nation. And one of the things that he did right after the war was he decided that he would give up the house that was set aside for the bishop next to St. Mary's Cathedral in Memphis, Tennessee. And that he would give up the house in order to establish a school for girls. Because one of the things he noticed was there was a need for girls to get an education, and that there was no way, especially for poor girls, to do so. And so Bishop Quintard wrote to the Sisters of St. Mary in New York City and asked them to send some sisters to administer the school and teach in the school. Now, Bishop Quintard never said why. And I wonder, did he call for the Sisters of St. Mary to come and run this school because he was high church and he wanted nuns hanging around the cathedral? Or was his calling of nuns from New York to Memphis part of the work of bringing together a divided nation? Bring some nuns from up north down here to the south. He never said, so we don't really know, but I have a suspicion, at least a little bit, that was in his mind too. In any case, in 1873, Sister Thecla and three other sisters arrived in Memphis and began to establish this school that Bishop Quintard wanted to have established. And no sooner did they get students and start teaching than there was an epidemic of yellow fever. And so the nuns who were trained as teachers found themselves becoming nurses. And they served food out of the school to people who were poor and didn't have food, and they nursed the sick, And fortunately, that epidemic was very short-lived, and not very many people died. And the sisters were able to get right back to establishing the school and teaching young girls. But then, in 1878, word came to the people of Memphis that there was a severe outbreak of the yellow fever in New Orleans, and that it was coming their way. And everyone who could afford to started to flee from Memphis. It's said that the roads were clogged with wagons full of people's stuff as they left town ahead of the yellow fever. And that's certainly understandable, but one of the challenges is that the people who were left behind were those who were too frail to travel, regardless of their economic status, and people who were too poor to travel. And they ended up staying in Memphis, which is a low spot in the topography and mosquito infected on that hot, wet summer. Now, at the time, Sister Constance and Sister Thecla had gone on a brief little 2-week vacation to New York, back to the mother house. And they were in New York when they heard that this epidemic had broke out. And they resolved to get back to Memphis as quickly as possible to take care of their people. Some of the sisters in the New York house encouraged them to stay here where it's safe. But Constance and Thecla wouldn't hear of it. They said, "We need to get back to our people." So it turns out that Father George Houghton was rector of Church of the Transfiguration in New York. And he blessed the sisters, gave them a blessing before they left. And he told his congregation this: "A week ago yesterday, I commended to the protection of Almighty God two of the sisters of St. Mary just as they were setting out on their return to Memphis, from whence so many that could were fleeing. 2 weeks before, they had come on to New York for needed rest and refreshment. News came of the breaking out of yellow fever. Without delay or hesitation, they went back to the post of duty and of danger, and it may be of death. I have had varied experience and have witnessed much, but I have seen no braver sight than that which I saw in Varick Street in front of Trinity Infirmary when, just at evening, I blessed those sisters sitting alone in the carriage which was to take them to the train for the journey to Memphis. Is it much for us who are to come, please God, into no such peril of death, to fill their hands with such things as they need for the sick and the dying and the destitute? If it be more convenient, send to me whatever you will, good friends, and there shall be no delay in its reaching the sisters." Constance and Thecla joined the other sisters who were already there in Memphis, and they encountered terrible, terrible conditions. They found children in their home with the corpses of their parents. They found people, and this was very dangerous, people with febrile dementia wandering the streets, confused and disoriented, and sometimes angry and violent. They had trouble finding enough nurses to care for people. And they found that most people recovered if they got nursing care. But they couldn't find enough nurses. And they had to beg, plead, cajole people. Police, ambulance drivers, undertakers, to come into Memphis to do their work. Ultimately, over 5,000 people died late in the summer of 1878 in the city of Memphis from yellow fever. Amongst those over 5,000 people who died were two priests, Charles and Louis, who were helping the sisters, and Sister Constance, Sister Thecla, Sister Ruth, and Sister Frances. They all died from yellow fever, caring for those people. Sister Constance's last words on this earth are, I am certain, her first words in heaven, Alleluia, Hosanna. It's a powerful, powerful incident in the life of our church. A powerful incident. And I mention it to you today because the dynamic that led to Charles and Louis and Constance and Thecla and Ruth and Francis from making the decisions they made to stay somewhere so mortally dangerous are the same kinds of choices and the same dynamic that Jesus is pointing out in the gospel today. Over the past few weeks, we have been talking about identity as opposition. People who use their identity to say, I'm right and those others over there are wrong. And we've talked about how identity as opposition is not very practical from a spiritual point of view. It does not help us to grow in the Spirit. In many ways, that kind of identity, that kind of assertion of identity, is very much like what the letter of James today was talking about how our tongue gets us in trouble. I'm right. I'm among those who are right. And you're among the oppressors. You're among the evil. You're bad and wrong. That kind of assertion of identity doesn't work. What Constance shows us, what Jesus shows us, is the kind of assertion of identity that does work, because Constance and her companions made the choices they made because they knew who they were and they knew whose they are. And they made choices accordingly. Jesus asks the disciples, who do people say that I am? And it's a question of identity. Who do people say that I am? And he knows. And when Peter gets it right, he says, now, based on that affirmative identity, here's what's going to happen. Here are how those choices are going to play out. And Peter freaks out. He doesn't like it, doesn't want to hear it, doesn't want to hear anything about his teacher and friend dying. I can relate. I wouldn't want to hear that either. But he doesn't want to hear it, and Jesus has to tell him to stop it. And he goes on and gives this teaching about those who save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it. And what he is teaching us is exactly what Constance and Thecla and Ruth and Francis and Charles and Louis understood, was that when I make a decision based on my true, deepest identity, that choice brings life even if others can't see it. That choice brings real life even if others don't get it. That choice brings real life even if it includes death. You can't say Alleluia, Hosanna on your deathbed if you're not really feeling fully alive. And you know that that quality of life is not stopped, even by death. That's what Jesus talks about when he says, those who save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and the gospel will find it. It's about getting in touch with our true identity, our real deepest selves, understanding whose we are as well as who we are, and making choices accordingly. And that dynamic happens all the time. It doesn't have to be just extreme incidences like Constance and her companions facing yellow fever in Memphis. We face it all the time, that very same dynamic. When I was a young priest, I had some friends who were not church-going folk who wanted me to go with them to a movie we all wanted to see on a Saturday night. And I said, I don't go out on Saturday nights because I want to pray and meditate and prepare for Sunday worship. And they were aghast. You mean you don't go out on Saturday night? Good heavens. But I make a choice about my time that's based on who I am. And liturgy is the work of the people. And work takes preparation. And so I prepare for the work we do here on Sunday. It's a choice I make. It looks like I'm giving up free time. It looks like I'm giving up play time. But it's actually a choice that brings life. When you give up time to do ministry, when you give up time to be here for worship, when you give up time to volunteer, what you're doing is making a choice based on who you are at your deepest core, and that is an affirmation of real life, even when it looks to others like you're giving away your time. The same is true with our talents, our skills, our gifts, and our abilities. I've had people tell me, you know, you could have made a lot more money if you weren't clergy. Maybe. But this is who I am. And that's why I do it. And that brings life. When you use your talents for ministry, when you use your talents for the church, when you use your talents for this place, or when you use your talents just to help out a neighbor or a friend or a family member, you're making the same kind of choice, perhaps not as dramatic, but the same kind of choice that Constance and her companions make. Our world tells us that money is everything. How much money do you make? How much money are you going to get? How can you get more money? No matter how well you handle your money, there's some joker who can come along and tell you how to handle it better. Hey, it's all about the money. Got to have money so you can buy stuff and spend your free time. I would assert to you that when you make a pledge to this church, when you give money to ministry and mission, you're making a choice based on your truest, deepest identity. And it's the same as Constance and her companions choosing to go into Memphis when everyone was running out. You're saying, my money doesn't define me. My faith does. That's the challenge. That's the dynamic that Jesus is pointing out. That's the simple paradoxical truth of this broken, messed up world of ours. That sometimes when we let go of stuff, when we give away stuff, when we don't cling to life but freely give it away, that's when we find real life. That's when we discover who we really are. And that is liberating. Even though others don't get it or can't see it. That's the challenge. It takes that kind of spiritual practice over and over again to be able to reach your deathbed when it seems like we're giving away everything, even existence itself, and be able to say with Sister Constance, Alleluia, Hosanna.
As you are able, please stand and join with me as we proclaim our faith, which covers the earth and spans the ages, as we recite the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, as seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in him. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Gracious God, you enrich our lives with an abundance of good things. Our tables overflow with your generosity. Help each of us journey through a life of stewardship, thankful for every meal and blessing.
Gracious God, you call us to your table to share the tastes of eternal life here and hereafter. We pray for all people of faith, and particularly for Michael, our presiding bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, and Michael in deacon's formation.
As we gather at your table, we anticipate the feast at the fulfillment of time. We give thanks for Kristen, Leslie, Charles, Jevon, Brandy, Diana, James, Brandon, Jean, and Juanita, who are celebrating birthdays. For Jennifer and John, who are celebrating wedding anniversaries, and for Sarah, Art, Brian, and Clarence, who are celebrating baptismal anniversaries.
Gracious God, we recognize that the abundance of our supermarkets is not shared by many of your children around the world. We pray for all those who are hungry, poor, or in any distress. We also pray for those who seek to help our world and its people. Donald, our president, our legislators and judges, loaves and fishes, Yana, peacemakers, and for Courtney, James, Joe, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, and Stephen, who serve in our armed forces. Gracious God, most of us experience life as a feast of opportunities. We give you thanks for these many blessings, and we pray for those whose lives are far from the abundance you intend. We pray particularly for all who are sick and all who are addicted, remembering especially Mike, Stephen, Ruthie, Ron, George, Hope, Charlotte, Dan, Carolyn, Christine, Caitlin, Helen, Jessica, Rusty, Pete, Sid, Ken, Betsy, Donald, Don, Nancy, Victor, and all who are affected by natural disaster. Now gathered at your table, O God, are Margaret, Nathan, Dick, and all those who have departed this life.
Almighty God, we thank you for making the earth fruitful so that it might produce what is needed for life. Bless those who work in the fields. Give us seasonable weather. And grant that we may all share the fruits of the earth, rejoicing in your goodness through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me."
Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, We await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with Constance, Thecla, Ruth, Francis, Charles, Louis, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated.
At 11 happened.
As you are able, please stand.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Hallelujah, Hosanna. Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, Hosanna.